How have you not seen this? And welcome back to How Have You Not Seen This? As always, it's me, your host, Dustin Meadows. Today I'm joined by my guest host, Eric Tate.
Hello.
As well as KK Bracken.
Hi.
And our perpetual dingus along for the entirety of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Alex Green.
I'm back again.
And we just watched Thor 2, The Dark World. This is part of Phase 2 with Marvel, all the Marvel films following Iron Man 3 in the series, leading up to the next Avengers coming out here shortly. I like this movie way more than I thought I was going to. We talked about this when we did Iron Man 3, kind of the post-Avengers bump in terms of box office, and this movie did pretty well. All of the ones after Avengers made, I want to say, at least 3 to 4 times their budget back, which pretty solid. And Thor 2 The Dark World, I think, is really cool because it's nothing like the first one at all. I think Marvel's done a really good job of setting these movies apart so that they do kind of go... Like, this movie, this is a Star Wars. That's what this movie is, essentially. And I think it's really cool, and it kind of stands on its own in what it's doing. I'm going to toss it over to Eric, let him say a couple of things really quick before we get into the meat of it.
What this movie is for me is a 2-hour justification of how to get Tom Hiddleston out of jail. That is what it, I think it's a good movie. Thor is not my favorite of the Marvel universes because the Norse mythology dropped into the rest of the Marvel universe is really weird for me. Then again, I'm a DC kid, so it doesn't like it. There's a lot of problems I have with it from just like, why did you guys decide Thor? But when I look at this movie, I think it is way different from the first one. It is very good, but I feel like it's the weakest of all the movies because the movie starts with Loki in jail. And, you know, I guess spoiler alert, ends with Loki not in jail.
Yeah.
The rest of the movie is just the justification to get Loki out of jail so they can use him later on.
Yeah.
That, to me, is what this movie is.
Okay.
I don't know the Dark World story from the comics enough to comics tell you if it was accurate or faithful. But I just know that they were like, we've got Tom Hiddleston on the hook. We can't let him get distracted by other movies.
Yeah. So really quick, before we jump the question over to these two, you said you've got a weird thing with the Norse mythology being dropped into Marvel. So how do you reconcile the Greek mythology being dropped in with Wonder Woman in DC?
It makes total sense.
Okay. You're going to have to give me a little bit more to go on than that.
Well, Themyscira is just a place.
Yes, you're not wrong.
No, I don't reconcile it. I don't reconcile it at all.
Okay.
I think that, by and large, a lot of, like, Wonder Woman's, like, modern adventures with the Justice League sort of, like, ignore the fact that she's a Greek goddess. I think, that, like, she's got the relationship with Batman and things like that. What you end up with is that every once in a while they have, like, that Captain America joke where she's like, I don't understand what Seinfeld is.
Okay. So,
I think that's kind of, like, where it ends.
Joss Whedon's Captain America.
Yes. Whereas with Thor, it is literally like they are the Norwegian gods. They're the Norse gods of old, and they have this bizarre world where everything is built with columns and everyone wears robes, but they're so advanced that they can build interstellar travel. Uh-huh. At the same time, though, they fight against laser guns with swords and shields.
But
it's super strange to me. I
want to talk about this more. Should we ask the question first?
Yeah, sure. Although I just want to make a comment before I forget it, that Asgard in this movie looks like Naboo from Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace.
It does. It really does.
I want to throw that out there before we get to it.
No, and that's a problem with the Star Wars franchise as well, but I think that you...
Just one of the many singular...
No, but not just the Star Wars franchise. I think that there is a problem with a lot of, like, sort of sci-fi where they go, they want to show an enlightened culture, and to us, an enlightened culture is the ancient Greeks. So what they do is they just give the ancient Greeks, they take the ancient Greeks and they go, let's make their weapons out of lasers and electricity. And that's like, that's what they do. I mean, that's what a lot of futuristic, yeah, enlightened societies are. And that's kind of what this is to me. And like, they're fucking boats. Like,
yeah.
Like, they're riding around with sails. Why does it have a sail?
Let's pump the brakes on this. Let's get the question, and we will...
I can get worked up about this.
Oh, I know. So I want to put it on pause, get the question, and then we'll jump into this. So, obviously, Eric has some very strong feelings about this. I have some pretty positive feelings about this. KK, how have you not seen this?
I was just superhero movie fatigued. I am superhero movie fatigued.
That's definitely a fair point.
Marvel especially. I mean, it's not that I don't like them, I don't enjoy them. It's just that I no longer seek them out unless people are like, hey, you should really see this because you'll like it.
Yeah.
So it's not, you know, if it had come on Netflix one day when I was sitting at my house, I'm sure I would have put it on and watched it, but it just never came up. This was my first opportunity to have an excuse to watch it, so that's why.
I'm going
to
give you a copy of Iron Man 3, because I'm very proud of that movie.
Iron Man.
Alex. Buddy. Al.
Hey. Hey.
How have you not seen this?
Well, do you mean how have I not seen Hellboy 2, The Golden Army?
I'm glad you, I was going to bring that up later.
While we're talking about things that this looks like.
But yes, yes. How?
By the way, well, another one with an enlightened society that looks like the ancient Greeks.
Yeah. And a villain that looks like a lot like this villain, too.
Yeah, it's true. Very, that was where I was going with it.
Yeah.
Except not twins.
No.
It's just another one where I was so far behind, I was like, I'll catch up eventually. You guys have fun at the movies. I'm going to stay home and cry or something.
Sounds by awful, cry, I mean something eat. I would say.
By cry, I mean eat spaghetti, but also cry. So, that's what it was. Procrastination at its worst.
Classic Green.
Classic me.
I will say this is now the third time I've seen this movie, and between all three viewings, I have now actually seen the entire movie, because I cannot watch this movie without falling asleep.
It's very long.
Yeah.
It's long.
And it's definitely half an hour longer than it needs to be.
Yeah. The first time I saw it in theaters, I had no idea where the Dark Elves came from.
Mm-hmm.
And then I found that out the second time, but I still like wasn't quite sure how Thor won, and now I know how he did.
Yeah. Hey, so speaking of world building things that kind of bug me about bugged me about this movie, how, if it's been thousands and thousands of years since the Dark Elves went into hibernation, since the last convergence or whatever, was their weaponry so much better than Asgard's? Like, ridiculous. They didn't like pick up their broken weapons after the battle and study them? I don't understand how the Dark Elves technology is. Is there an explanation for it? I mean,
I don't think there is, but
not in the movie there's not.
I mean, if you look at a lot of different movies, they sort of like hit this theme of like they fell into decadence. Like that's I used to play
the Asgardians?
Yeah, the Asgardians. Okay. Like I think you could make the argument that like any advanced society, like, eventually, like, falls into decadence and, like falls from, like, the height of their power. There's,
yeah.
That's a common theme.
I mean, I guess I get that, but, like, specifically the discrepancy between, like, their weaponry really bothered me. Because I just feel like even if you had sort of, you know, let your martial prowess fall by the wayside, you'd still, like, be able to combat this millennia-old technology. Well, that's what I think, at least.
In the opening scene, they don't actually beat them. What they do is they steal their main weapon.
That's true.
And then Malekith gets all pissed off and is like, everybody, commit suicide now!
Right.
Yeah. And that, like, that's, I mean, that's what they do, like, is they drop out of the sky.
Forge their ships?
Yeah.
It's alright, it just bothered me. It doesn't have to have a reason.
To be fair, up until fairly recently, the Asgardians did have a murder laser-shooting robot that they don't have anymore because of Thor. So maybe that was their line of defense, and they just like, oh man, this guy just, we really buried the lead on the to-do list to get a new laser robot.
laser
guns. It's not like they don't have lasers either. Their boats have laser guns on them.
Yeah.
Yeah, where were the boats during that fight?
I don't know.
It's like, we won't use them again. Oh, my son is kidnapping Natalie Portman. I better send laser ships after him.
And actually, I would argue that their technology has vastly increased because the first one of their ships was taken out by a guy with a knife.
Yeah.
That's true. But still, their guns were shooting straight through their armor. They have those, like, matter-sucky bombs.
So the anti-matter grenades.
They focused a lot of their weaponry building in the
knife. That was still pretty fun.
They focused so much of their weaponry building in the knife department and not so much the gun department.
Really pretty.
To be fair, that knife was also wielded by Stacker Pentecost. So.
It's true.
I mean, they didn't
stand a chance. I have read really amazing Pacific Rim fan fiction.
I didn't even need to know what the last word was. As soon as you said I've read, I was like, I knew exactly how that sentence was going to end.
Well, but I'm saying, like, it's really impressive how they justified Heimdall being Stacker Pentecost.
Yeah. Or Stringer Bell. All right, you haven't watched The Wire.
That's right. Sorry.
Luther.
That's all right.
We should just Luther. Do a multi-day podcast. How have you not seen this, The Wire?
Oh, my God. I can barely afford to pay the hosting for the one podcast. Because I would absolutely do a Wire podcast.
I want to say that I don't necessarily think this is a bad movie.
No, I think not it's at a all. Very
good Especially movie. By itself.
Like, I think that by itself, it's fine. I just have, like, there's so many things that just bother me about the Thor universe.
Yeah.
Oh, I want to mention something that I actually really thought was cool. Yeah. At the beginning of the movie, when Loki is first sort of brought into, you know, before he's in jail, he was like, oh, Dad, you know, I just wanted to go to Earth and be a king just like you. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, and I don't know anything about the comics lore or whatever, but I thought that was like, oh, so maybe Odin came down, was like, hey, Vikings, what's up? I'm a god. Cool.
Now, I don't know enough about the Thor canon, but it seems to me that there is this, like, if you go back and look at all of the old myths that Norwegian mothers told their children, like, it seems to me the canon treats that as, like, that definitely happened. And then a few thousand years passed, and then Thor was like, you know what, I'm going to go to Earth again, and we're going to, like, start a new series of, like, myth-making things.
That's sort of how they explain it, generally.
Yeah,
they touched on it in the first one, too. Because Nick, the old guy.
Oh, Eric. Eric Selvig.
Who is the best character in the movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shut up.
I like Darcy.
But
that's pretty good.
He has that old book. He's like, oh, see, look, all of these things.
Yeah, with the Norse myths.
He said all these things. He must have read this book. Nope, he is those things.
Yeah. Well, and also Odin in the beginning, too, even explains like that they were involved on Earth, like, however many thousands of years ago it was as well. Yeah, so there's definitely, like, a tie-in to that justification.
So are you saying that Vikings is a direct prequel of the Marvel Cinematic Universe? On the History Channel?
I'm familiar. Yeah. I think the case could be made.
Yeah. I thought that Silence of the Lambs was a direct prequel to
the Marvel Cinematic.
I feel like when he was done killing and eating people, he became the Allfather. I think that's
not impossible.
Like, actually dead, or this new universe is just like a fever dream and is incredibly deceived.
In a way.
I think it could be.
He's not diseased. He's a genius.
Well, in that case,
like, we're accepting the Cabin in the Woods is obviously a prequel too, right?
Yeah.
That's the first time Thor is cast out of Asgard, and then he proves his worthiness by sacrificing himself to save all of his friends, and then he ascends back up to Asgard, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, good.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought you were making a reference to the ending when the gods come out of the earth.
Oh,
like,
no.
But it's like, what?
No, that would have been pretty dope, too.
No, he's continuing the joke and I ruined it.
Don't worry. Hey, no. Joke stands on its own. Comedy gold, this guy over here. Yeah, going back to what we were talking about, them being like kind of this primitive race with just, you know, all this technology for whatever reason. And like, it's kind of very lazily explained in the first one where Thor's like, oh yeah, the science here, like, and where I'm from we call it magic and they're the same thing and blah, blah, blah. I was like, that's okay, that means that Vikings have lasers now.
it seems to me like I just want to see a more cyberpunky version of Asgard. Like I want to see like somebody with like a bionic arm that doesn't work quite that well.
Yeah. I want to see a steampunk version of this.
Yeah.
I want to see a lot of cogs.
I feel like solar punk would be more appropriate for Asgard, though. In the
That one world that he was fighting on was like almost like they were almost steampunky.
Yeah.
And then like Rock Monster came out.
But that's another one where you look at them like they're fighting and it's supposed to be like, ooh, faraway planet and everything like that. And primitive race, their houses are literally made of rocks with thatched roofs.
Yeah.
And they're fighting each other with laser cannons. And
Aren't they harpoon cannons?
Yeah. Laser harpoon cannons.
Yeah.
Because as soon as they shoot the gun, a laser comes out. But then as soon as Sif blocks it with her shield, it becomes a harpoon.
It's a really hot harpoon.
Oh, it's like in that first Conan movie when James Earl Jones turns a snake into an arrow.
That is very different magic. Okay? That is very different.
Look,
magic.
I'm just saying. I think Thulsa Doom would fox with the Asgardians.
Well, maybe with the Ice Giants.
See, there you go. Thulsa Doom just kicking it in Jotunheim. What up?
I wonder how this second movie would have come to be. I wonder how the visual aesthetics would have been had the first one not been directed by Kenneth Branagh.
Yeah. Because
I feel like... I mean, Kenneth Branagh, big Shakespearean actor, really, really clever, really wonderful guy for what he does. But I feel like there is a lot of like Shakespearean elements.
Oh, absolutely,
Jesus,
the story alone.
Yeah,
is very much that kind of thing.
Let's say you had Blom.
Blomkamp?
Yeah, Blomkamp.
What this one would feels like. Yeah. Not enough social commentary for it to be him, but...
But what would the visual aesthetic have been, if that had been? Because I know that they strive to be very close to the movies, but what would the world have been like if Blomkamp had directed it? Or if Joss Whedon had done it? It would have been... But you see my point, though, is that I wonder how much Kenneth Branagh actually influenced the second movie by the very nature of him creating that world to begin with.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of it, too, the thing to consider is that in the first movie, most of the time in the movie is spent on Earth, like the majority of it, like 80%. Oh, yeah. This movie, we see much more of Thor's world, and I think...
But that,
maybe we would have seen something similar, maybe. But so little of the first one is spent in Asgard.
I think the world that we're seeing, though, is influenced by this very, like, horned helmets, throwing meat on the ground.
Yeah.
Here's a king, here's his great hall. Let's make this as Lord of the Rings in space as possible.
It's pretty fucking dope.
I mean, that's really what the first one is. I don't know what I want the Allfather's, you know, great chamber to be.
Yeah.
But I certainly don't want it to be the same as the White Steward of Gondor. You know
what I mean? No, and you shouldn't.
That's what it feels like. It feels like they went to New Zealand and they dusted off the Great Hall of Gondor. And they said, if we slap a little paint on this and sand off some of the cornered pillars, it'll be fine.
So, I don't know. I feel like there's a kind of sense of familiarity with it, but I feel like it's completely its own thing. I feel like it does a really good job of establishing itself. Like, if you look at a couple of frames of this movie and you look at a couple of frames of, like, a Lord of the Rings or, I don't know, like a Neverending Story or Willow or whatever other kind of sword fantasy movie, it stands out, I think. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really cool that, like, it found a way to do that, even if it did just say, it was like, hey, let's just put Star Wars in Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, and I mean, I do appreciate the effort it took to, like, combine, sort of create this genre of, like, oh, it's, you know, ancient Greece, and exactly what you said in Star Wars. And I think the problem is just that the tropes they used were kind of lazy in general. Like, white people are obsessed with ancient Greece and ancient Rome, and so that's, like you said, is, like, what we consider to be the pinnacle of, of, like, enlightenment and whatever. And so I just think it would have been interesting to see them try and pull from different cultures. Same method, but just not as lazy in there.
That's fair.
Inspiration.
I think it would have been really cool if they just let us see our fucking Stellan Skarsgård's hog.
Yeah.
Just saying, man. Come on, Marvel. You can't make one R-rated movie? Cowards.
What's Deadpool? Is Deadpool Marvel?
Yeah, Deadpool's Marvel. I don't know if it's not Marvel Studios, though.
Ryan Reynolds specifically was
it's Fox that owns Deadpool, though. Because Deadpool was rated X-Men.
R-rated too, and then he was like, aha, just fucking kidding. It'll be rated R. Fuck you.
Both Punisher movies were R-rated. Bitch. All three Punisher movies were R-rated.
Yeah,
are they considered MCU, though?
No, they absolutely are not. The Punisher with Tom Jane was Lionsgate. Punisher Warzone was produced in, like, conjunction with Marvel Studios, but it's not one of their official titles, I don't think.
It's also
which is a bummer, because it should... What?
It's also not.
Oh, no.
Oh, man, Eric Tate, I will fight you.
What is
Punisher Warzone is so fucking good. Look, Ray Stevenson, who played Volstagg, one of the Warriors 3 in this movie, by the way, blows up a guy doing parkour with a fucking rocket launcher. It's beautiful.
Oh, I'm not arguing that some of the ways that the Punisher murders people are not brilliant in that movie.
They're gonna choke each other.
I'm gonna powerbomb you out your fucking window.
I love the Punisher, but I hated all of the movies.
This is a comment. KK is kissing a dinosaur.
Actually, the first one was pretty good, though, where the skull is on his back and he rides the motorcycles through the sewers across the Pacific Ocean.
The Dolph Lundgren one? No, that one's dog shit.
No, it's amazing. That one's amazing. That is my Zombievers of the Punisher movies.
Oh, man, you and I have very different definitions for what words mean.
Oh, man, I really hope you don't value this table.
let's bring it back to Thor. Where were we before we got on that tangent with the Punisher? Oh, Stellan Skarsgård's hog. I got us distracted. My bad.
Punisher Thor mashup would be a great movie that should totally be directed by Kenneth Branagh.
There's actually a really good Garth Ennis, who is largely credited with reviving the Punisher comics with the Marvel Knight and the Max series in the early 2000s, wrote a Max imprint for Thor where a bunch of Vikings were somehow resurrected and came to Earth and did what Vikings do, except in modern-day New York. And it's one of the most violent and graphic things ever. And Thor teams up with Doctor Strange, and it's really funny and weird and violent. And it's pretty cool.
Just reminded me that Doctor Strange is Benedict Cumberbatch, and I'm really sad now.
Hey.
What I really want to see is Thor...
Not Doctor Strange.
going somewhere. And if he's really going to do what Vikings do, then he would, like, drive his boat into the middle of space and then be like, I need to go somewhere. I need to figure out which way land is, and then throw a raven into space and see which way it goes and then follow the raven.
I mean, in a way they did. They went through that hole into that cave and then they just threw up a cell phone.
Yeah.
That was their raven.
That's true.
That's their raven.
Ladies and gentlemen,
just trying
Alex
to figure
Green.
Out you know, where stuff is going by following Verizon. That's the name of their raven. Because it rhymes with horizon.
Verizon, find land.
Yeah, that's the one thing we can definitely take away from this movie, is that Thor doesn't have Sprint.
No. Thor can hear you now.
Yeah.
I think one of the biggest strategies for me with this movie, one of the things I like so much about the first movie was seeing Thor acclimate himself to Earth life. Mm-hmm. Because, it was so fucking funny. Like, it was, the best moments of that movie were from him, like, trying to understand how things worked and, like, figuring out that if you want something else to drink, you don't just throw your mug on the floor and shatter it. You just ask for it. And he's not out of his element in this one. And he's very straightforward and stoic. And there's still, like, moments of levity throughout, but not a lot of them are really coming from him this time.
The first one was really more like Third Rock from the Sun, but with a lot of punches.
Thor was John Lithgow?
Yes.
It's been a while since I saw the first Thor, but it, like, barely has a plot, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's
Dad gets angry.
They stretch essentially, like, one very minimal plot element over the entire movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what we talked about. Like, it's probably the Marvel movie where the least amount actually happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In terms of the plot that drives it, and in terms of, like, what actually goes on and what it sets up.
The plot of the first movie is that we have to give Tom Hiddleston a job.
I think Tom Hiddleston's going to be all right.
Yeah.
He's going to do just fine.
How do we work this minor villain back into the series over and over and over?
I'm really surprised that they went with him as their main villain for the first Avengers.
Mm-hmm. Just because people love Loki, that's all.
Yeah. No, it's that hat, man.
They love Tom Hiddleston.
Well, yes, but they...
But they had to have had that figured out, like, before Thor blew up, or before Tom Hiddleston blew up.
Maybe. I don't necessarily think they did.
I think they did to a point.
But what they actually love is Tom Hiddleston. What they think they love is Loki. Yes.
But see, I don't think Tom Hiddleston would be nearly as popular if it were not for the character Loki.
No, it absolutely would not.
What they think they love is Dustin Meadows. What they actually love is Alex Green.
That's right.
You're not wrong. No one knows.
I love you, Dustin.
Oh, thanks, KK.
That would be even funnier if I was wearing his shirt.
For those of you at home, Alex is indeed wearing Dustin's shirt.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's not a different shirt.
Yeah, for all those of you in audio land, not video land.
Hey, I just assume that people can see everything that happens. I just think everyone timed all.
You can just assume that everyone can see through your fucking bullshit, Alex.
Hey, you know what?
You know what I mean?
That's all there is. They see through it. There's nothing on the other side. That's all there is.
You could activate my Bifrost.
Ladies and gentlemen, KK sexualizing intergalactic travel over here.
You can punch his sword into my sword thing.
Punch his sword into my sword thing. All right.
If that's your Bifrost, does that mean that at some point a large blonde man is going to take a hammer and destroy it?
If he wants. All Avengers can come except for Iron Man.
Oh, man. No love lost for Tony Stark.
Not a man.
Why am I the only person who was, like, really into Iron Man before these movies came out? Just doing these podcasts, it was like, I'm not really that into Iron Man or whatever.
Why do you hate Iron Man so much?
It's like Wolverine for me in the X-Men franchise. Like, I just don't like how he's the boss. It makes no sense to me. He's, like, one of the least interesting characters. Ugh.
So how many of the Iron Mans have you watched?
Two. I watched the first two.
I really think you should give the third one a shot.
I know. I think I would like it better than the second one, certainly, because I thought the second one was one of the worst movies I've ever paid to see.
You and a lot of people.
Yeah.
I think me and Alex and Peter Brick are in a minority of people who didn't hate it. But it's definitely the least good of the Iron Man movies, I think.
Yeah. And well, like I said, like if it comes on Netflix or TV, I'll watch it. I just don't care that much.
I will make you watch Iron Man 3. It's so good. It's my second favorite, right after Cap 2.
Oh, Cap 2.
Cap 2 is really good.
Oh, yeah. Cap 2 is phenomenal. Too bad we can't talk about it.
It's my favorite rom-com of all time.
But we can talk about that fantastic Captain America scene in Thor.
Yes! Oh, my God.
That's pretty awesome.
There are some great comedy moments in this that are, like, really kind of, like, lame comedy moments.
Yeah.
Like when they go with that stupid joke where she's like, Eric, Sadie, Mjolnir, or something.
Mew Mew!
That joke was gold. Because it still sounds like she's going, Mew Mew, like she doesn't know how to say
it. She says Mew Mew.
We don't know if that's the character, or if that's just Kat.
Just Kat Dennings not knowing how to pronounce Norse hammers.
She thinks she's saying it right.
I also, that's maybe my favorite part in the movie, excuse me to spoil this, but when she's like, hey, how's space? And Thor is like, space is fine. And it's because, like, he has learned. He has kind of grown as a character since the first movie, where he's like, I'm assessing how this human is asking me this question, and to her, where I live is space. So I'm just going to say space is fine. Like,
do you think, though, that maybe it's been his time hanging out with Iron Man that has given him the ability to deal with sarcasm like hers?
Maybe. I mean, he also hung out with Darcy in the first movie.
Yeah, very true. I'd say probably more from them than any of the actual Avengers.
There's so many other good moments of comedy in the movie that are like, yeah. It's kind of like dad. It's almost like dad jokes.
It is like dad jokes. Like when he hangs up Mjolnir on
the correct.
It bothered me. Okay, again, I know very little about the lore of the comics or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, but it bothered me that the Skyrim evil guy, not the elf, his brother that turned into the big guy, was able to knock aside Mjolnir. Isn't that impossible? Isn't the whole point of Mjolnir that the world rotates around it and you can only move it if you're worthy?
Should have been, yeah.
Well, he's also full of dark matter, so
I guess.
The rules are off.
I guess that's true. Fair.
Yeah, and his boss is Doctor Who.
That's true. The best Doctor Who.
Hold on.
The Doctor. Even I know that, Eric, and I don't watch that show.
I know it's the Doctor.
You're literally wearing the shirt. You should be ashamed of yourself.
Wait. Yeah. Can you explain who is...
Christopher Eccleston was the Ninth Doctor.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he's the
Night Elf King.
He's Malekith.
Oh, okay. I know.
Yeah, he's the guy who gets the lightning in the face.
I just didn't know which doctor you were talking about.
Also, dark elf plastic surgery, not that great.
No, right? They can fucking make you explode into dark antimatter, but not fix your face.
Nope, not fix that one lightning blast that you got after you killed Rene Russo. Fucking
that
dark
elf. That was a bummer. Doesn't she have the power of sight? Didn't she know she was going to die?
Probably.
That makes me really sad.
And she did it anyway.
She knew. She probably knew she was going to die, but she's like, I can make this last several seconds longer.
The fucking bar, too. Like, especially watching it again. Like, her role is so much substantial in this movie, too, than it is in the first one. Like, that scene, like, as soon as there was, like, she just got Gwen Stacy. There's a term for it. She existed literally to get killed for dudes to feel sad about it.
Bridged.
Yeah. And it fucking sucks. I don't want it. I like Rene Russo.
That scene, that first scene in the jail cell with her and Loki, was she Loki's projection? Is that the point of that scene?
I was thinking about that too, because I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure like if she was genuinely projecting herself there to talk to him, because we see that she has that ability as well.
Right.
Or if it was him like doing that for his own benefit.
They throw that projection thing around so much, I feel like they're trying to confuse you.
Yeah.
Just how much, and like they pay it off they pay it off with the hand thing.
Yeah.
And they pay it off at the end with
the crazy. JK, Loki's.
Yeah.
What happened to Odin?
My theory is that he's been Odin the whole time, but that can't be right.
No, I think it was literally just for that scene.
Do you think that maybe that's the plot of Thor 3?
Ragnarok, yeah, I think.
I mean, of course, isn't Ragnarok versus the ice giants in real Norse mythology? Isn't that sort of...
I mean, Ragnarok in real Norse mythology is just the complete end of the world. It's not just the frost giants, it's everything.
Everything, okay.
Guys, it's, not really it's going down.
Actually, I think Ragnarok is Loki and the Midgard serpent rises up and his dog. It's Loki destroying the world.
Yeah.
It's Loki breaking free from the rock where he's had his chest open and there's a viper that's dripping venom onto his heart.
Ooh.
Oh, man.
It's pretty,
Also, there's no way I don't refer to my dick as the Midgard Serpent from here on out.
Gotta let it out.
Since
neither of you had seen this before, did you notice the part where the guard is on... is on the Dark World looking for Loki's body? Did you notice the flash... that they did to hint that Loki had survived there?
No.
Where he was sort of flashy.
Well, there's his outline was green briefly. When Loki comes back at the end, was that a complete surprise to you, or did you when the guard was creepily smiling up at the camera Oh, Tom Hiddleston is in there.
Well, I figured that was Tim because he was that guard earlier in the Captain America scene.
Okay.
So I was just like, oh, he's not dead. He's that guy now. Looking for his own body.
Okay.
Classic Hiddleston trickery.
Yeah. How about you, KK?
No, I had no idea. In fact, I'm shocked that this wasn't on Tumblr at some point that I didn't notice.
Had it spoiled for you?
Yeah, and I mean, once again, I don't super care about this, or I would, blacklist against it, but I knew that What's-Her-Face died, I knew that Loki was, in the cell and whatever, and I knew a lot of, the basic points of this movie. I've probably seen it all gift at some point or another, but
Jiffed.
I did not know that.
What's eating Gilbert Drake?
Yep. Gilbert Drake.
After Rick has been for 3 hours, and I haven't.
Don't get me started on how you pronounce
it. Gilbert Drake! Oh. Oh my gosh.
Oh, there it is, the last joke on the podcast. Shut it down! One of the things we've talked about through all of these is how Loki is the only sympathetic villain so far in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And we talked about, like, you don't really get it that much in Avengers, but this movie, I think you absolutely fucking get that. With the relationship with him and Frigga. And especially, like, one of my favorite parts in this movie is when Thor goes to him to talk to him about getting Jane Foster out of Asgard. Mm-hmm. And, like, he's just all cocky and everything. He's like, enough with the illusions. And then it's just him slumped against the wall of the cell being fucking despondent about his adopted mother being dead.
Mm-hmm. His cockiness was literally an illusion.
Yeah, it's like the only time that you see him, like, really weakened. Mm-hmm. And I think that really sells Loki as one of the more notable characters out of all the villains that have come up in the MCU so far.
When that happened, did anyone else want to know how he cut his foot?
I saw that too.
That was really
good. Well, he smashed all the crap in his room. There could have been glass or pottery in there.
He was working on his Die Hard musical. He's method.
He's just creeping around.
Die Hard. You got a lot of time in those cells, you know? He lived 5,000 years old.
I guess I didn't get where he cut his foot.
There's just, he just
had really
good He's
feet.
Sitting there, and then he's just got this gash on his foot.
Oh.
For not, I mean, it doesn't really add anything to the image.
I liked his pajamas, though.
Yeah, those are pretty.
I want to know where he got those pajamas. Is that what he wears underneath his armor all the time?
Yeah. Do you not have armor that you wear all the time?
Yeah.
Well,
this is
not in Midgard.
Oh, I get Mando.
You have armor. Pajama armor.
Armor pajamas.
Armor pajamas. There's everybody.
Pajamas. Pajamas.
Pajamas. Yeah, there's a special kind of pajamas you have to wear depending on which armor you're wearing. I mean, because if you have like armor that also has like greaves and stuff like that, then you need the footy pajamas.
Right.
And you know, but if it doesn't, then you know, it's just like
you know who could use the footy pajamas? Loki.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some footy pajamas.
Footy pajamas.
The armor pajamas. They're particularly important when you have lots of plates that move together because you know it pinches, man.
Yeah.
Can't have that. On a totally related note.
Yeah.
I've been trying to look this dude's name up, but I can't even think of it. The guy from the IT Crowd, who's the
Chris O'Dowd.
Yeah. Chris O'Dowd. Okay. They made him tone down his accent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
what the fuck? I didn't get that they were in a different country at first. I was like, oh, they just made him tone it down because he's supposed to be playing an American. And then they cut outside, and they're driving on the wrong side of the road, and everything's in England. I was like, what the fuck?
No, I think they made him cut it down just so that it was more English-sounding than Irish-sounding. I mean, he doesn't have an ultra-thick Irish accent.
No, in fact, like, Bridesmaids, huh?
I mean, I've only really ever seen him in the IT Crowd.
Okay.
Isn't he playing like sort of a? I mean, sort of like a.
He's just a guy, yeah.
Yeah. Kind
of like probably supposed to be a sort of a class distinction about his accent.
Maybe. Could be. I mean, that makes sense. But it felt like it was just like, oh, Americans won't be able to understand this accent, and that's probably true. But I was offended by it. Just let him talk in weird. Irish? Scottish? I don't
He's
know.
He's Irish.
He's Irish. Irish.
Yeah.
O'Dowd. Yeah.
Whatever.
A little bit.
They
all what, Alex? They all what, Mr. They Equality all, for the Irishman?
They all banged back in the day.
Oh, okay. That's not where I thought you were going to go. I thought you were just going to go say all sound the same.
And that affects the way they speak.
Probably. Some Thor's DNA passed down to the
generations. Yeah. That's why they all got red hair.
It is kind of fun, by the way. As an active watcher of History Channel's Vikings, to have watched this.
Yeah. Oh, there's this guy at work who just loves that show.
It's not good. I mean, it's, like, very fun to watch, and it's cool, and the action and the battle scenes are great, but it's not a good show.
It doesn't sound like it. everything I know about it is
Does the History Channel make good shows?
I mean, it's better than... It's as good as Walking Dead.
Well, that's not...
Not a glowing review.
I only watch Naked and Afraid. That's it.
There you go.
I like Vikings.
Oh, this week on The Walking Dead.
A lot of really pretty people swinging swords and wearing armor. Like I said, that really does it for me. It's my favorite genre, swords and stooms.
Yeah, get it.
Yeah.
Did you say stooms is in short for costumes?
Yeah, swords and stooms.
Oh, man, I love you, but you're kind of the worst right now, man. Get out of here. Just jump out the window.
Jump out the window.
Jump out the window and summon Meow Meow to carry you away and save you in the nick of time.
There's really no more pretentious way to say costumes than that.
Stooms.
Yeah.
Cassies.
Cassies. No, it just sounds like a person who's having a stroke. Hey, you see my Cassie? Stooms just sounds like you ordered a fucking Stella Artois, but in a glass.
Yeah, look at Stooms.
It sounds...
Swords and Stooms, somehow that sounds like a pizza topping.
It makes you sound like you go to the library to be seen at the library.
Yeah.
Isn't the monster
you
go
don't?
To the library?
No, I go there to use the internet.
They have internet there?
Oh, somebody, that's the only reason people go to the library anymore. You think people read?
What's that?
Precisely. Got it. One of the things we talked about the moments of humor in this movie. I think the biggest laugh that this movie got out of us, besides Cat Days going meow meow, was Malekith and Thor after they got teleported out of another hole and just fell past the workers in the building.
Yeah.
And just very briefly here.
It's such an ungraceful fall for two amazingly powerful beings.
I love that...
It's the sound they make through the glass.
I love that the final battle is just like what a boss battle should be in the game Portal, essentially.
Yeah! whoever wrote this was just like really high and had played Portal.
So much Portal.
Yeah.
Someone it was the winter Steam sale. Someone bought both portals, beat them in a day. It's like, oh shit, I forgot to write that scene. They're falling through worlds and stuff's going all over the place.
But it's so cool. That's one of the other things that makes this movie stick out from the other Marvel movies. Like that final battle is so different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then Malekith gets killed in the most brutal way. It's like, oh, we're going to teleport your arm off of your body. Then we're going to teleport your other arm off your body. Then we're going to teleport you out of here, and then we're going to teleport a ship on top of you.
And actually, Thor doesn't actually save the day.
No.
Eric saves the day.
He's just tanking for him, bro.
That's right, because he's not dead.
Yeah. Selvig drops the ship on
him. He was sort of relying on Convergence, and the idea was, get him away from there when he would have done the most damage. So, I agree that it was a joint effort, but I think that I think Thor is intended to be the hero.
I know that
he's basically doing the Iron Man fly around the overpass for 2 minutes, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, okay, now I haven't seen Iron Man 3.
Mm-hmm.
The big crisis that could potentially kill the world... is only dealt with by Iron Man? There's no other Avengers that come to help?
Yes.
Does it make sense? Because this movie actually, it makes sense. They appear on Earth.
It does.
And they have to kill him right now. And that's why Iron Man and Captain America aren't there.
I think all of them, because I watched them and I was like, why aren't the other Avengers getting called? And Iron Man 3 and Cap 2 all do a really good job of, setting up why they're cut off from everything else.
I disagree with Cap 2, but I'm sure we'll talk about that.
Okay, yeah, definitely. But Iron Man 3 especially does a really good job of it, and I think they do a good job here, too. It's so sudden, it's literally out of nowhere.
Right.
It's what's Cap going to do? Get on a jet and get there an hour after it's too late?
Although I do, again, it's and this is just, unfortunately, just the problem with this whole universe, of course, is are you telling me Tony Stark would not notice these crazy physics, anomalies throughout the world?
Not if he's not monitoring them. And especially if it's localized in another continent.
Yeah.
Well,
we never see outside of London.
When they were falling in and out, they were going all over. Not all those scenes were in London.
Well, no, that's true.
All the ones on Earth were.
They were. I wasn't sure if they were all.
Yeah, because one of them, they end up in Jotunheim, which is how that giant snow monster comes back.
And they're in that place where
the village from the very beginning. Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the Earth locations.
Earth location is all through London, but also the problem in this movie is very specific to Thor.
yeah.
his skill set. It's not. I think that maybe Captain America would show up when it was all said and done and be like, hey, what's going on? Can yeah. I help make well, fun of your dress?
Yeah, well, the other thing, too, is I like to think that, like, all the post-Avengers ones are going on semi-concurrently.
Yeah.
Because there's no, like, this is the first one where there's no mention, like, there's a very brief mention of S.H.I.E.L.D., but there's no presence, like, there's nothing from them. Like, Iron Man 3, they talk about it at least a little, even though they don't pop up, but there's nothing in this. And I assume it's because S.H.I.E.L.D. is preoccupied with the events of Cap 2, and the same thing with Iron Man 3 is like it's just all going on separate to itself. Because
as an avid comic book reader, I think that one of the reasons, like, so like I read Green Lantern, and then like why isn't the Justice League always coming to help Green Lantern,
yeah.
or why isn't he always going to help out Batman or something like that? Like, it seems to me that like if the Joker was threatening Gotham, Batman would be like, hey, Green Lantern, can you come like pick this guy up with your ring?
Could you hit him with a green hammer and just kill him forever so I don't have blood on my hands already?
The problem is that the world is extremely dangerous and full of psychopaths. Because
yeah.
for every one person who decided to do something good with their powers, there are literally dozens of people who are like, I want to steal that television. And this ability to breathe fire out of my eyes is going to allow me to do that. So,
is it really breathing if it comes
so
out of
your I guess we should really talk about this more with Cap 2, in, which is where I don't agree with the
okay.
justification of the Avengers not showing up.
Okay.
Because I do agree. I think this one, it makes a lot more sense. Even though I disagree that S.H.I.E.L.D. would not notice these crazy anomalies, because
it definitely was weird that S.H.I.E.L.D. had no
had
presence.
No presence. Yeah. I mean, like you said, they were mentioned, but not present. And I just, anyway, and I, like I said, like, I also accept that it's part of the canon. Like, they're just, it's just the way these movies have to be made. It's like, can't all show up in each other's movies, obviously. I just think they do a poor job justifying it. And now, I appreciate in the comics they maybe do a better job, but we've seen these world, universe-threatening things. This is not just one hero city under attack. This is the whole universe.
Yeah,
I want
the multiverse.
One of Avengers, like, Fury even rationalizes that the whole reason that they're developing weapons is because of the things that came from Asgard. So, they should... I'm going to take it back. Where the fuck is S.H.I.E.L.D. in this?
I'll tell you where S.H.I.E.L.D. is. Because he mentions that the ancients used the gravitational anomalies to build things like Stonehenge.
Mm-hmm.
S.H.I.E.L.D. is in Egypt, where they are also using the gravitational anomalies to build the pyramids. Or maybe the S.H.I.E.L.D. was in Central America, where the Aztecs used gravitational anomalies to build their pyramids. So they are monitoring these things,
mm-hmm.
but they may be monitoring them at a different site rather than in London.
Okay, see, I accept that. I wish they had included it. I prefer to see.
I can see it too, but
I accept that.
But for them to not even have a response team. Present make is silly. Not even get a phone call from Nick Fury saying, hey Thor, do you got this one? Okay, I'm gonna fuck off back to DC and handle that shit right now.
You know,
Robert Redford's just, oh man, he's breathing down my neck. Yeah.
Have you not watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? Because Coulson's team is pretty stretched to the max, and sometimes they...
Okay, no, I have not watched the show yet, so that's fair. I can get behind if that's the case.
They're still dealing with
still
that
destruction of the multiverse?
I'm
only three.
Okay, we're going to destroy nine worlds.
Well, I haven't given away too much.
No. All the nine realms.
But what do they call it? They call it the nine realms, not
the
multiverse.
Realms. Yeah.
The gravitational anomalies thing, it was... That's where the gravitational anomalies were when those civilizations were big. That's how he's able to track them, because they're moving
mm-hmm. yeah.
towards one central point. But they're all the rest of the portals lining up.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just out there. That's not where they would be right now, because all of those portals that were helping them build crazy things are...
Above Greenwich.
Yeah,
above
but
Greenwich,
also
they've moved
physics,
in.
Dark matter, quantum theory, and time looping structuralism?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just going with chronology right now and spatial things.
But those things would... plot device?
Oceans.
Plot device.
The
plot
answer device. Is oceans.
Every time my girlfriend and I are watching a movie like this, and she goes, but why didn't this? I just respond with plot device.
But I think the best movies, like the best scripts, hint, at least have some sort of like way that you can figure it out. That it's on the page. That's all I ask for. Just some one little throwaway line on the page that tells me, that gives me away. Like the movie, crappy, kind of aesthetically similar to this one, actually.
What is it?
Alien prequel.
Oh, Prometheus.
Thank you, Prometheus. I have had someone who worshipped that movie sit down and, like, come up with reasons for all of the plot holes in that movie.
For why scientists don't act like scientists.
You just didn't understand, like, this is what was happening. And I'm like, all right, but none of that explanation was in the movie. And if it's not in the movie, then I don't care if it's true.
Or that.
You know, like, I don't care if I have to figure it out. I don't care if I have to, like, think about it and figure it out on my own, but I do need it to be there to be satisfied.
Yeah, just tell me why somebody who's an expert at mapping caves decided not to use a map when they were in a fucking cave. Or why a biologist decided upon meeting a new species, the first thing to do right out the gate was fucking touch it.
Right.
So, you know, whatever.
Something like that.
Speaking of somebody who was going to become a biologist before he got into comedy,
uh-huh.
Anytime you see a new species, your immediate instinct is to touch it.
Instinct, yes. But when they lead off the movie and say, everyone on this mission is the greatest scientific minds of that century and of that world, maybe they're the ones that have learned to fucking restrain themselves just a smidge.
Nope, as soon as they see a new frog.
Well, this new frog fucks them up.
They do kind of explain why S.H.I.E.L.D. might not be there.
Ooh, yeah. I want to.
Darcy, when she's like talking about we can't get a hold of S.H.I.E.L.D., she says she's calling someone. The only person from S.H.I.E.L.D. that she would actually have the number for is
Coulson,
and he's dead.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, no, he's not.
Well, he's not.
On this timeline, I think he was, because Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. hadn't started yet.
Yeah, they haven't started that yet.
It's not when Thor 2 came out.
But didn't they know that they were doing Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? I thought they knew after the popularity.
They knew. They absolutely knew. But I don't think it... Like, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was a mid-season start, right?
Yeah.
And even within Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Coulson's death is still regarded as Coulson's dead, and he's like... He's far removed from the rest of the kids.
Yeah, it's... Yeah. People don't know. People don't know that he's not dead until he walks in. They're like, oh my god, you were... Yeah.
Now you're not.
Now you're not.
Because that's how comic books work.
Yeah.
Is for some reason you are more popular than all of the other than all the female characters in the entire MCU.
Yeah. Hey, when's Clark Gregg gonna get his own movie, you guys? What's a Black Widow?
More like how I blew your mother up with a grenade.
Oh, shabam!
I worked it in.
That was it. You've been holding on to that joke since the Avengers. Didn't get a chance.
Speaking of grenades, one of my favorite portions of this film is the singularity grenades.
Yeah.
Those are
awesome. I prefer KK's matter sucker bombs.
Matter sucky bombs.
Matter sucky. <Thank you. laughs> No, those were super dope weapons. And you know, the tragedy is the Asgardians couldn't replicate those, but you know, Tony Stark could have built those in a cave.
Ah!
Bam, there it is. There it is. Scraps.
I did also like the way you turn someone into a just minotaur monster is you cut them a little bit and then shove...
Give them a lava rock?
Get a lava rock in there and then...
What is that? Igneous sedimentary? What kind of rock is that?
Do they have to be dying for it to work?
Apparently.
Apparently. It looks like it.
And then you have to give them that helmet from Skyrim.
Yeah, and then you... Well, that's just
go back in.
Force road up!
Force go!
My sister makes me with the best juniper berries.
I played that game and I made myself a cat and I just ran around. I didn't have any weapons. I just ran around and I was just like, I'm a cat. You can't kill me because I'm a cat.
I did the same thing in Mario.
Yeah, I turned myself into a cat.
Oh yeah.
No, I was a Nord. I joined the werewolf clan. I got to be a werewolf. And
I joined the werewolf clan too. It's a cat who turns into a dog. Cat dog.
Good and dangerous. Nice lady who paid us in advance before she turned into a dog.
Oh man, I play video games the right way.
I think it's a good point to wrap up. If there's not anything else you guys wanted to hit on. Let's wrap it up with favorite moments. Eric, we'll start with you.
My favorite moment?
Yeah.
I really like the moment when you realize that Eric saved the day, but there's literally no explanation as to how he did it.
He was just like, bloop, bloop, bloop.
Yeah, he
did the same thing that Natalie Portman was doing the whole time.
Yeah,
what scale?
But the thing is, when Natalie Portman was doing it, they were near those big spikes. But at some point, I guess the spikes got moved around, or he Atari'd his way into it.
Well, the last one, Malekith was impaled to the ship on it. So that spike was still attached to the ship.
I didn't get that part.
Yeah. So I thought about that the first time I saw it. I was like, nah, that makes sense.
Why didn't the ship go when they?
Huh?
Why didn't the ship go the first time?
Right, because then it was falling through from the top.
Yeah, because they. I think it was a very small singularity.
I think it's leading up to reveal. I think when I look at that, I just think that it's leading up to reveal that Eric is a speedster. And
yeah,
he ran around and grabbed all the spikes and put them where he needed to be, and then he Konami coded the ship onto Malekith. And I think that that's my favorite part.
Nice. I also like that we all watch Thor the Dark World and we think we have any understanding of advanced physics at all. we would get into a fight with somebody tomorrow over the... Like, we would get into a fight with Stephen Hawking tomorrow over how science works after watching this.
Oh, yeah, you just need 5 tiki torches and you can create singularities and throw people through worlds.
Thor 2 wasn't that good. It's bullshit.
I'd like you to explain something to me holding 2 shoes.
I can explain how your mom sucked my dick. Ha ha ha. Ha ha ha. I'm Stephen Hawking. Fuck you, Eric Tate. You fucking magician. Stephen Hawking's words, not mine. I'll fuck him up for you, Eric. That was a shitty thing to say. Thanks for dropping by the studio, Stephen Hawking. Alex, favorite... God damn it. Alex, favorite moment?
Oh, man. I think it's... It's gotta be when Eric was, running around doing stuff, being all crazy in his underwear. And then he finally, he realizes the gravity of the situation. He's like, I gotta get my pants.
So how great is the frame they freeze on the 2 times that he's on television? And he's just pulling the most ridiculous face.
Classic television move, man.
Classic Celtic.
When he hears that Loki is dead, that's just such a great moment.
Yeah.
Not my favorite, but it's such a great moment.
Oh, yeah. No, it's... Like,
oh, thank God. I'm
just so sorry. Part of me likes to imagine that Eric Selvig, this character, these are all prequels to Deep Blue Sea and his character. He's like, I'm done. I'm not messing with science anymore. I'm going to go to this underwater research station and make sharks smarter because that sounds safe.
So this movie is a sequel to Silence of the Lambs and a prequel to Deep Blue Sea?
Correct. Yes.
Okay.
KK, favorite moment?
Cat cameo.
Yeah, that's good. I was waiting on it.
I'm shocked someone didn't say this already. I mean, come on. Chris Evans. Hemsworth together again for the first time.
Just like Ludacris. Back for the first time. No, I'm always excited. I've said this so many times on this fucking podcast. It doesn't mean anything more. I love Chris Evans, and I made a little squee noise and clapped when I saw this in the theaters. And just Chris Evans walking with Tom Hiddleston's voice. No, it was Chris Evans with Chris Evans' voice. Yeah,
I think it's Tom Hiddleston doing a Chris Evans impression. Yeah.
He nailed it though.
Yeah,
it was really good.
Did.
When you talk about truth, patriotism, they just get slammed against the collar.
Because Loki only knows Joss Whedon's Cap.
Mm.
It's a shame. I'm so excited for Cap 2.
Oh, yeah. Cap 2 is fucking dope. For me, the Cap scene is definitely up there. It's really good. And I really like that final battle. I think it's one of the most unique out of all of the Marvel movies that they've done. It's just one of the most interesting to watch, and still got those really funny moments, like them falling past the building and yelling, even though, Thor can fly.
Well, he didn't have Mjolnir.
No, that's true.
The confusing of Mjolnir is pretty funny, too.
That is cool. We're whizzing through the 9 rounds.
She's getting teleported all over.
I gotta go back.
Also, I love the banter between Thor and Loki in this one. The entire escape sequence is really good. Then lead him out of the prison. And then when they get on the ship and Thor is trying to start the ship. This whole time, it's like, I'm pressing it all.
Which one of us can actually fly?
Yeah. I thought you said you could fly. I said, how hard could it be?
I love that they...
And then he just throws Loki out of the speeding ship.
Yeah, that's amazing.
There is a certain casual violence to this.
Yeah.
In that, like, they know that they can survive most anything. So they're just like, I know you're going to hit this brick wall at 100 miles an hour. And, yeah, you're going to survive it, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, when the creature, like, threw the rock at him and he just, like, puts his arms up, like, oh, no.
Yeah, just, better bet that off.
Yeah, it's a very weird kind of, like, loving, it's a loving, casual violence.
Yeah, like when the Hulk punches Thor in the Avengers.
Yeah.
Cool, I think we're going to wrap it up there. Thank you, Eric, for guest hosting.
Thank you.
Alex, KK, thank you guys for doing the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me, as always.
Thank you all for listening, and we'll catch you next time for the last time with the MCU.
Thanks for listening to How Have You Not Seen This. If you enjoyed the podcast, like the page on Facebook. Subscribe to us on iTunes. You can also leave us a rating or a review. If you're interested in donating to the podcast, you can do so through the PayPal link at the Podomatic website, howhaveyounotseenthis.podomatic.com. You can also send any questions, comments for the show to howhaveyounotseenthispodcast@gmail.com. Thank you for listening, and we'll catch you next time.